Hare Krishna. Let me still get set. Hare Krishna. Okay. Today, I'm just going to read from my... I took notes at the retreat that I went to. I didn't attend the full one, just the classes, because they have early morning and late evening kirtan and short classes, but I attended classes by Satchinandana Maharaj and Borijan Prabhu. And also, I wasn't planning on staying out here so late, and I didn't take my Brihad Bhagavatamrita out to Govardhan. So, greetings from Govardhan. Other street from the notes. It was quite a wonderful retreat. Very, very high quality discussions by Borijan and Satchinandana. Borijan Prabhu spoke about the path of Sri Rupa, the first chapter of the Anti Leela, which he very, very carefully outlined. I don't have those notes here right now, but he very, very carefully outlined the sections and how they progressively indicate the path of Rupa, which means ultimately how to enter into Radha Krishna's pastimes. And like all progressive paths, it begins with a core conceptions. And the core conceptions are components of the more special conceptions. For example, we want prema bhakti, but it's composed by us, or it's at our stage, the way that we develop it is to develop simply qualities like gratitude and humility and compassion and guru nishtha. And then it grows. It's prema starts as a seed of the intense feeling that Krishna should be pleased. So initially, it's a feeling that Krishna should be pleased, or it's good to please God, but it's not fully mature, fully developed. Prema is when that's all that's in your consciousness. God should be pleased. It's such an intense feeling. And because it's such an intense feeling, so many emotions well within the heart. So Borijan very nicely described, right from the beginning, the first story in Anti Leela is the story of Shivananda Sena, how he gave shelter, how Shivananda Sena gave shelter to a dog. If you know the story, there was a dog on Prikram, they would let him in the boat, and then Shivananda Sena paid paid the boatman to take the dog, and he took care of the dog, and then the dog disappeared, and you know, Shivananda Sena was very concerned. Shivananda Sena used to organize the parikrams, the pilgrimages from Bengal to Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would manage the whole thing, which means the accommodations, the food. You know, it has to be managed on a pilgrimage with so many people, so he would do that service. So he even wanted to give shelter to a dog, but the man... Eventually, they found the dog, and he was sitting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, eating the remnants of the coconut pulp that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eaten, and chanting Hare Krishna, and they saw the dog go back to Godhead. So the first point is very, very instructive on our progressive path to follow Rupa and to actually get our goal, which is love of Sri Radha and Krishna. Deep, deep spiritual emotions. What's the instruction? The first instruction is, we are dogs. And our only hope of advancing in spiritual life is to take shelter of a Vaishnava. The first thing is, take shelter of a Vaishnava. No matter what your condition is, shelter, sharanagata. The confidence, the faith, that in that relationship, everything becomes auspicious. Serving Prabhupada, you'll never lose. That kind of faith. So that was the first, and then he did simple things, very nice too. Then right after that, there's a story about Rupa Goswami, and then Rupa Goswami's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, glorified him in front of the other Vaishnavas, and then it said that he was actually looking how they'll respond, even Ramananda Roy and others. He was testing for what? Envy. Such an insidious, material condition. It's material consciousness. Material consciousness means enjoyment and control. And it's like an addiction. You're never satisfied. And that sense of enjoyment means a sense of superiority. It's not just sensual stimulation, but it's the sense of superiority that the enjoyment of the senses, how a person has more, or the man could say he has more women than others. It's not just the sex life. But more important than that is the sense that, look, I'm God, that I'm better than others. And therefore, it's such a deep core material conception in us to really feel threatened when we see someone's better than us. And then to wish them ill. So they were ecstatic when Rupa Goswami was being glorified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even the Bhagavatam, it says, it's such an exalted scripture. Why? Because it's for those who are free from envy. Nimatsaranam sitam. And who's free from envy? A devotee. That's what a devotee means. A devotee means one who is free from envy. And what's the symptom of envy? The fruitive consciousness, the getting ahead in the world. There's nothing wrong with getting ahead in the world, but we don't live to enjoy, we enjoy to live. It's the conception that you have needs, fulfill them so that you can live a peaceful life for Krishna consciousness, but that can never be your goal. And that's envy. And we have it in the heart. So, Boy John just made a really nice presentation of that. Very nice points. I love this point he made. Beautiful point. He once said to me, good class is when you learn one thing, but I was learning so many things from them. So many things. So, very nice note I took. We should be very careful what we hear, as it is the main pathway to our heart. Hearing is what touches the heart. So just see how much we hear. Wow. I don't know. Some people said I should get on Facebook. They said it'd be good for preaching. But I'm so hesitant to do something. I know these things have utility because we hear so many things. We hear so many things. Not just bad things, just frivolous things, too. We can't. I never went on it. I don't really know much about it, but that was my fear. The heart. What's going to touch my heart is what I'm going to hear. And spiritual life means that we have to become progressive until you just want to hear about God. You just want to hear about Krishna. And that's what will nourish and purify our heart. Okay, so it's I'm going to just go through my notes, see if there's anything else. I'm sure there is. I got a couple of pages of notes. So, so envy and false ego. He says we can't go to Braja with false ego. One has to go. Either you don't go to Braja or you give your false ego. And it's a fact, when you enter the Dham, you first enter through Lord Shiva, because he's the presiding deity of false ego. And Vrindavan is so, the center is so much occupied here by Krishna. So we can only live here as on the periphery of the center. We can live here in the consciousness of objects for, not looking at others as objects for us, but looking at us as objects for others. And it's intensely there. And one, brother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar, said that Vrindavan is the land of gurus. And when you enter Vrindavan, everyone is guru, except you. That's the exact opposite of material consciousness, where you want to be the enjoyer, the controller of the center, and everyone else serve you. Spiritual world is, you see yourself as an object of everything's desire, of everyone. That's spiritual material consciousness. Spiritual person is thinking of the desire of another, the needs of another, and sees himself as a servant of those needs. And the material person, me, I want. It's you're focused on your desire. It's a good personal test. How often are you thinking of the desires of others, and how often are you thinking of yourself, your desire, another's desire? Not, needs must be there. But this is what saintliness means. And reading a book on chanting, I love the point that the person made about chanting mantras. One principle has to be serve others before yourself. Purijan talked a lot about I don't know what this is reference to, but it's a nice story. Purijan told one story about someone went and saw Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, well, you did this. And the person said, well, I was young, and I was under pressure, and, with others, not exactly. And then Yamaraj said, but you've done this. And he said, yes, but, it's actually, I was misled by another person. It wasn't really my fault. I didn't actually do this circumstance. And he said, okay, well, what about this? He said, well, you have to understand that, there are certain circumstances to the mistake. I didn't really mean it. I was just honestly trying to. And then, so the person, Yamaraj, kept on saying that to him, and then finally Yamaraj looked at the person and said, why are you so proud? And then the person realized, yes, I'm proud. I'm proud, and because of that pride, one can't accept responsibility for one's own mistakes. I was with my godbrother last night, Parthasarathy Maharaj. I'm actually going to see him again tonight. He's been a little bit ill lately. Great soul. And he said, Bhakti Siddhanta, it's very interesting. It's, you have to think deeply about this. Define humility as that which is absent when one tries to enjoy. Think about that. What is humility? It's the absence of the quality you have when you want to enjoy. Interesting. Let's see. What else? Oh, yes. Satchinandana Swami. Very wonderful. He guided us in guided meditations. Just some techniques, but very, very effective, because he was teaching a book called Vrajavalastava, which is a book which just describes all the resonance of Vrindavan and prayers. And he's very deep in his meditational practices. So it was very, very powerful. I remember one particular day, because this pandal where they had the program was set up so that two sides of it was facing Govardhan Hill in this beautiful park garden near Jatipur on the other side. So basically you're seeing Govardhan, and it's majestic at that point. And he told us to look out into the forest and look at Govardhan. And he says, become mindful. He always described two minds, the unconscious mind, we're not mindful, we're not thinking. He had really requested us, when you hear, really actively hear and actively see. So he said, please look at the garden, and he always had a flute player with him and a harmonia player, so it was very nice meditative mood music, and said, look at the garden. You see those birds, you see the butterflies, look at the trees. So you really, really see how much potential you have to be more conscious of your surroundings. And it puts the mind in a very steady pace. And then he says, now close your eyes and hear the sounds of Braj. So why just, when you're seeing, why just see the eyes? Hear. And then close your eyes and feel the fragrance of Braj, smell the fragrance of the wind. And then he started chanting Hare Krishna once people were in this extremely meditative mood. And then he read, my God, this beautiful prayer from Raghunath Das Goswami, which was really moving, how Raghunath Das Goswami did Govardhan Parikrama with intense prayers. Intense prayers, so those prayers were being read. So it's very nice, and he described that the heart is like an instrument, and that instrument has to be tuned properly. And if it's not tuned, you have different sounds of the heart. For example, there's the sound in your heart of desire. There's the sound of speculation and philosophy. So, he recommended that these prayers are meant to tune your heart to the mood of the sadhus who are longing for Krishna. Because if you do this, your own heart will be affected by their longing and tuned to their consciousness. So it was a very nice thing of really, really meditating on your heart and see what its voice is, what its sound is, and then tuning it, because there's all these wonderful prayers of the sentiments of great souls describing Krishna, describing Radharani, of describing bhakti. And that's the sound, the melody, the pitch of the pure heart. So when we hear prayers in that very, very mindful way, really deeply thinking of their meaning. And sometimes you could take one prayer and then speak the whole class and each word of the prayer. If there's a prayer to the Jamuna, because, you know, the Jamuna, you know, and it's just beautiful because there's so many pastimes. And how, when you go to the places of Krishna's pastimes and you chant in a very sincere way, how much can enter your heart? And today I met some people from Moscow. I somehow have a Moscow connection. Very, very nice. And they came to me. They said, you know, anybody can take us on parikram. They said yesterday. I said, I just come to my house in the morning. We'll do a half parikram, then we'll walk the other halfway there. But we saw that by focusing on chanting and hearing katha and Vrindavan in the right way, how much your heart becomes attuned to these spiritual vibrations, the spiritual conceptions, the moods and ideas of saintly people in the spiritual atmosphere, and how satisfying that way. Okay, I'm looking. Okay, I got a few more pages, so just bear with me. I'm sorry that I may be a part of the time today, but. Boy, John just gave a very, very nice indication of how you can really get a gauge on what your consciousness is. And he said that during the day, occasionally you should stop and ask us, what do we actually want? What are we wanting now? Revenge? What do we actually want now? And that's the test of our consciousness. You stop right now. What do you actually want? Are you thinking, I want Krishna praying? Are you thinking, you know, I need a new job, I need this, whatever it is. So, Sorry for this, I didn't have to be a part of the topic today. Anybody like to ask a question so far?
Maharaj?
Yeah, thanks, Willie. Before you ask, I just, it's been wild. I mean, that's why the classes maybe haven't been as prepared, but you know, I was at the other side of Govardhan. It's a 50-minute walk, you know, unless you get some vehicle. And every year they end with a drama with Govardhan in the backdrop. And it was such a far, far out drama. And, you know, it's like a really, it's amazing, beautiful. I have these books that come from Iran. Very, very amazing, nice people who love to participate in the dramas. And it's just really, and it ends, and we had, you know, Shamdas lives in Jatipur, where the place is. Shamdas is this Vallabha Westerner. And I become very, we have very good, really good relationship. I went to his place twice for prasad with Bori John. And with, anyway, my cousin is here, so I went with her. And so he brought like this real local Brijbasi kirtan band. And it was just so, you know, in Braj, Vrindavan, there's such a when you get into that mood, it's such a spontaneous mood of service. So it's beautiful at the end with the kirtan and Radha and Krishna, and you know, so many sadhus came, and it was really sweet. Anyway, Muni, yeah, ask questions because that'd be good for a question. Hello, Muni.
Yeah, sorry, Marsh. I just muted my phone because. Yeah. My kids are here and stuff, so I. I really appreciated the kind of meditation that you were describing that Sachinandan Swami was taking everyone through.
Yeah.
And it made me want to think about or know about how those kind of meditations could be used for devotees like me who really need to master karma yoga if they're going to be Krishna conscious through the course of the day. You know, like, are there any suggestions you'd have for how to maintain that kind of mindfulness through the course of the day, through the course of one's work day or something? Some kind of things one can do before one starts the day that might allow them to break through a little bit more?
You know, the only thing I can think of right now is, you know, you face the day with a certain mindset. It's just like we wake up in different modes, you know? So what you do before affects what you do after. Yeah, I just saw it. I mean, yesterday I only slept 4 hours. I didn't sleep yet. And I was well rested because I went to sleep just by understanding and hearing in such a nice mode.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't eat too much at night and, you know, different things. So besides any techniques of how to look at the world and meditate or you know, we've discussed this many times, but I think, you know, sadhana means to condition the mind. And if it's done in a proper way, the mind will be molded to a higher mode. And you all approach the world in that mode. And the more the consciousness is towards goodness, the more illumination there is in the senses, the more one can see something clearly, the more one can be detached. I don't know. I mean, Prabhupada didn't particularly deep meditational techniques, you know. Bhakti path is just, you know, inspire one's love and you'll be the most absorbed person in the object of your affection, and that's the highest yoga. You know, one should be faith and devotion. Yogi Namapi Sarva is the highest of all. But at the same sense, I can see the value of it. Because we do things so unconsciously, you know? So it's a question of training, and what better way to start the training is to really deal with that in sadhana. And of course, going out in the world, then I guess, there's different meditations on God. We discussed this before. One, by hearing the fruits of one's labor, you know, spiritual charity, or, you know, it gives one a more of a mindfulness of work, to do what's right, to be really concentrated on morality and doing what's right. That's also a degree of mindfulness. And then if one has a certain particular mind or consciousness, I'm sure there are different meditations. You know, we discussed this before, to use, you know, any ordinary circumstance to train the mind by just becoming detached and observing. See, distinguish yourself from the mind. What causes karma, and this is according to the Yoga Sutras, is when one is thinking the mind is the self. All these, you know, churning of thoughts from samskaras, you know, and thinking that that's me. You know, we discussed there's some experience in the soul. There has to be some thoughts or God. But most of what's going on is just the material thing, the mind. And by identifying with it, then and doing activities in that identification, that causes karma, which is meant to purify oneself from that tendency to identify with the mind, which is basically moving in selfish and material ways to a great extent. So I think there's different types of, you know, ways and meditations. We haven't stressed those techniques, but I'm for anything that's effective if done in the proper way with the proper understanding. You know, one could go out in the world and you know, in a detached way. Abstract himself to some extent. And, you know, in yoga, even in Ashtanga yoga, you know, the meditative absorption part is an advanced part. Therefore, when Kriya Yoga was recommended to purify the mind and bring it to a habit. So Kriya Yoga means tapasya, living a simple life, swadhyaya, chanting of mantras, which is part of swadhyaya, is chanting of mantras, which is very, very effective, and Ishvara Pranidhan, give your life to God. You give the fruits of your activity to God, you know, you can actually consciously, you know, that's what Bhagavad Gita, applying knowledge to your activity. You know, I don't, you know, I think hearing, when you hear, like we're hearing now, then that orientates you, change your activity. You're hearing about what the goal is. You can't do anything unless you have a goal. So I think there's many things, but we should just understand it's progressive. It's like, in yoga, is yam niyam. So yam means moral restraints. The first part of controlling the mind is how you deal with others. You know, so even that, even, you know, the human interactions but I think without some foundation of hearing properly, it would be very, very difficult to jump into some kind of you know, yogic consciousness when one is working in the world. Mooney?
Yeah, that makes sense. No, that was great. I appreciate it. If I understood correctly, you were kind of saying that, in other words, maybe if I understood what you were saying, part of the point, you have to work on the framework, which means things like a mode of goodness life and trying to create the right samskaras so one's mind naturally goes towards God during the course of the day, right? I mean, that seems to be part of what you stressed.
That's why Indians, and I think it's so, you know, they would read the Bhagavad Gita regularly. Because it's practical. Bhagavad Gita means what? Knowledge applied to work, right? So the foundational scripture, and I thank you for bringing this up because, you know, meditative absorption, even in the yoga system, that's a high platform. And, you know, first recommended is Kriya Yoga, the work of action, to bring you to that point. And it actually says if you perform Kriya Yoga, so what is this? Dedicating your life to God. This refers to just offering the fruits of your activity to God, or Yeah, it, what is it? It's just, offering the fruits of activity to God, chanting mantras, studying Shastra, hearing Shastra, living a simple life. It says that this will destroy the kleshas, the root material conceptions.
Something more that you said reminded me, too, that about Sri Ramanuja. He has he says that you can't engage in the meditations of bhakti in a deep way unless you've really worked through karma yoga. And so I there's ways to understand it where he's not saying something radically different from what we understand, but I thought it reminded me of what you had said that in the Yoga Sutra, it says that you have to ground your practice in things like ordinary morality. That's where you start. You have to kind of create the right samskaras. So he makes the point that unless you can go through your day and kind of keep a conception of yourself as God's servant fairly close, then the idea of sitting down and meditating on God's form for a few hours or something is very unlikely. Anyway,
there's definitely the connection between your activities and your actions in the world and the accruing the purification necessary that you need to become a deep meditator. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
I went to this drama, and I haven't slept much today, which is nice sometimes, But I went to this drama, and then getting back. Sometimes when Vrindavan opens up and you meet the local people who are really pious, it's a beautiful thing to see their simple hearts and how much they're attracted to Krishna and how loving they are. And sometimes you don't see that. So, I didn't get much sleep. That's why I'm probably not thinking at a very high speed level right now. But any other questions? Yeah, I may have to end early today, but I could. There were other things that were very interesting, but I'm always.
Maharaj?
Yes.
You began the class by saying Aha Buridan had compared, or how he had retold the story of the dog who followed the Parikram and then sat at Mahaprabhu's feet when the rest of the Parikram arrived. He had already gone ahead, apparently knowing where he was going or what he was attracted to somehow. So we should think of ourselves as dogs. Can you maybe elaborate a little on how we get to that point of humility, especially if we're not...
You have to repeat it again. I really couldn't follow it, just slowly.
Can you maybe elaborate a bit on how we can get to that point of humility, particularly if we're not all that fond of dogs? If dog is not our favorite animal, how do we connect? How do we make a connection of thinking of ourselves as dogs? How do we read
I'm just saying that means, of course, it takes humility, but that just means shelter. And the concept of dog just means not qualified. So I don't
think
it's very difficult for us to feel that we're not qualified and we need shelter.
I mean,
because you try to advance in spiritual life, but there has to be helpers.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes.
It's very, very
Without,
difficult.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone, thank you. Anyone else like to say hello? I don't really, it's fine if I can say hello. Nanda Dula, Hare Krishna.
I had a small question, but you don't have time. Next week.
It's not enough time. Is that I'll try to answer the question, but what I'm saying is, what I'm realizing is I didn't get hardly any sleep last night because
Listen.
And
okay.
And because of that, my brain is not working at full capacity. But I welcome questions. Maybe it'll
okay.
wake me up.
Okay, it's a small question, Mahajan. I just want to get clarification. Yeah. You mentioned the symptoms of a person who is not envious. Could you repeat that thing? I wanted to get clear.
The symptoms of a person who is not envious?
Right.
I forgot. I don't remember what I said. I'm in sad shape today. But anyway, and actually after that drama then, you know, I had to get back. So, you know, it was just jumping on an Indian tempo, you know. It was just an ecstatic ride, you know. Like, you know, 40 people in a little vehicle and a couple on the roof. But it was fun. I went on Prikram and I took these devotees and they were so cooperative. And we just chanted the whole way and heard guitar that, you know, doors open to the spiritual world. It was nice. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Oh, so nice to hear from you, Henry. Thank you.
There was a nice Rath Yatra here in New Orleans yesterday. It was really wonderful.
Oh, wow. Was a Kinchana there?
I didn't see him.
Oh, he's in New Orleans. He should be there. Nice kirtan?
Oh, very nice. A beautifully decorated cart, especially made for the Yatra. A very nice festival. It was over some wonderful devotees, many from Alachua and from Dallas.
Really, huh? And that was your friend Eric, right?
Eric, yes. I'm visiting Eric here, yes.
He was kind of one of the main players there, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a very much organizer, arranging for helping arrange for the permits and the place for them to have the Rath Yatra and everything. He was very much involved.
This is historical, right? It's the first Jagannath.
In over 20 years, yes, the first one in over 20 years, and it's a route that's never been done, and they did it really in a grand style. They had a nice big place for the Festival of India, and they built a cart, unique cart, just for the New Orleans Rath Yatra that's really spectacular. It was decorated so beautifully. The deities were smiling so nicely. They were so happy.
Wow, Henry, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Did they chant this tune in the Rath Yatra, okay?
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. The Hare Krishna, did the saints go marching in, no?
No, but that's a brilliant idea.
That is great.
Okay. No, you know why? Because at one time when we did our party, I like the little light discussion today because I just, you know, I try to do these classes all the time. And I try to be prepared. But today was, you know, really from, morning to evening, but it was blissful. But it didn't leave my brain much space here. But because when we had our Panihati one year, Amritananda, who helped organize this in the first place, whose father is a very, very famous, not famous, very accomplished musician in India, who composed 1,000 melodies of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for Prabhupada's centennial. And I knew him. He's a very nice person, foreign person. So Amritananda came to the Panihati one year, and he had the little kids, and he had an electric guitar. He's an Indian from a Brahmin family. And, you know, and he started singing that to the saints go marching in. Was there any trumpet players? No?
No, but there was a kind of a jazz fusion band, you know, on one. It was one of the musical presentations, but no, there weren't any trumpet players in the procession.
Okay. Anyway, just New Orleans, huh? It's great. Anyway, can you congratulate Eric for me? Okay.
I certainly will. I certainly will, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. Great. That's nice to hear. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Alita Madhava. Thank you for your class.
Well, all I can do today is communicate the Brijbasi spirit, because it's really wonderful going to these lectures and, really nice. And tomorrow, somehow or other, I don't go. I mean, they start at 6:45, and they have another thing at 6:45 in the evening. I go from the classes from 10 to 2. But Borjan said, don't miss tomorrow, he said, in the morning. So I have to be there at 7:30, he said, because they're going to have a PowerPoint presentation on Rupa Goswami's poetry, how it's constructed, which Borjan said is absolutely fantastic. It's done by this one Sanskrit scholar in conjunction with another person knows Sanskrit, but I guess it's more like a technical genius. So it's really been nice. And I like, too, that there's a variety of Vaishnavas, too, that was there. It was nice. Shyam Das is from the Vallabha, and welcome. And he had some friends there that also came to the programs. My cousin was there. Personalist. One time I brought my cousin, and then we came in front of the temple, and one of my godbrothers came up. And he was surprised to see my cousin in her orange robes, and he said, what's your philosophy? And she looked at him. She's intelligent. She said, I'm a rascal impersonalist. it was kind of charming. It took him off guard. But she's here, and it's just like so... It was just so, it's hard to communicate now, the real grudge mood, when you just open doors to what this place is and see the hearts of the people that are really into bhakti. It was really a moving experience, that drama. My favorite actress, I don't know if Sanyasi should say this, but there's a lady that comes from comes from the Middle East, let me put it that way, every year, rather than say anything more, who knows. She comes from the Middle East every year in a Muslim country, and she plays the lead bards. And it's just so nice to see. And that's a glorification of Prabhupada, too. He really, Priti Vityachi Yati Nagarani, name in every town and village. Really nice. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I gave something today, but I think what's happening now, and this has been one of the most busy times in India for me. I mean, I've taken literally, was responsible for, and not before Kartik and after Kartik, for maybe 6 or 7 groups of different pilgrims. And even today I took a group on Parikram who, we went around Govardhan, just chanted the whole way. Very nice. So I'll get back. I really do believe, and the purpose of this was to, hear the Shastra systematically. And I just should be back now, at least for the next month, just in Govardhan, Vrindavan. I think the pilgrims are basically, this will be the last batch. and we should have nice Shastravachar, studying the scriptures from different angles. Okay, I have another place to go. I'm going to visit Parthasarathi Maharaj, a good friend of mine tonight, who's actually arranged this beautiful place that I have in Govardhan. And it's amazing. I had a half acre garden right outside my door. I'm the only one here. Beautiful garden. Beautiful grass, trees, hills, flowers. And I'm about 100 yards from the road, and it's like a gated place. And I got nice darshan of Giriraj. So that's nice. Okay, we'll end for now. I really thank you all for coming, and please join me next week. We'll give you something a little bit more substantial. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.